Welcome to the Gas House Gang with Kevin Wheeler, Matt Pauly, Bernie Miklas. I'm Tom Ackerman. We are live, the four of us, ready to go. We're on YouTube's KMOX Sports is where you subscribe. The Bernie Show from my man, Bernie Miklas, the Missouri Sports Hall of Famer himself, along with Wheels and Pauly. Pauly's down in Jupiter. How you doing, Matt? Good to see you.
I'm good. Good to see you. Into my final week, Tom, you and I will be trading spots this upcoming week.
Yeah, I'm heading down there Sunday morning. I should be there in time for that Yankee game. And Wheels in St. Louis. It's going to be a fun month. I love the month of March, without a doubt. Matt, before we get anything started, I understand that the team has shut things down for today, and they needed it. It had been their first off day, if I'm not mistaken, since they started way back when. Any other news outside of Quinn Matthews being sent out yesterday and Zach Thompson dealing with his lat tear?
Yeah, those are the two biggest things. I think it's a strain, not a tear, if I got that right. So that's better news, because a tear, you might be done for the year. A strain, we'll see what happens. These things do tend to stick around. So the Zach Thompson news is probably the biggest news. I did think it was interesting yesterday when Ollie was talking about the off day. I asked him after the game yesterday if this was a good time for it. And he mentioned the fact that, you know, they tried to stack kind of a light day yesterday with this off day today. So just give guys kind of the game yesterday and nothing more. And the team wasn't having that. They all showed up. They went out. They did all their like early work and individual work. They had no interest in taking it easy yesterday, which was something that really made Ollie very happy. So there's a lot of work going on in camp. I know that's one of those kind of things we say every year, but I think that's a good sign that when you're, as a manager and as a coaching staff, you're trying to give guys, you know, stack a light day with an off day, and the players themselves are like, nah, forget that. We're going to go do our work. That's a good sign.
Yeah. Bernie, you know what Mike Shannon used to say about spring training stats? He said, you know what you do with those? He said, at the end of spring training, you wad them up and you throw them in the trash. However, the Cardinals offense, when it's not going well, is going to get a lot of attention. And so far, it has been a slow go for the Cardinals offense, Bernie Miklas.
Yeah, they're in spring training, both Arizona and Florida, all 30 teams, they're last in batting average, the last in on-base percentage, 29th in slugging, 29th in OPS, 26th in runs. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say, and I don't want to – Kevin Wheeler's got some things on this, because we were talking last night on our text chain.
I'm a little crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say, after I leave this opening comment, I'll just log off. Because Wheeler will go for, like, oh, I would say at least 30 minutes straight, maybe more. But anyway, as if I should talk, right? Without taking away any thunder from Wheels, he's going to tell you about, you know, the fact that there's a lot of players on that team hitting the ball really, really hard. If I pay attention to spring training stats at all offensively, it's based on guys who have to make the team, guys who have to make an impression, guys who are sort of borderline. They have to put up numbers, because how else are you going to really judge them? They have to give the manager and the John Mozeliak a reason to choose them over someone else, and good stats help. Same with young pitchers. You know, I want to see young pitchers throw well, but other than that, I don't care. I just don't care.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, Kevin. That said, I mean, you did do a deep dive. I want you to kind of, you know, lay this out for us. Why did you decide to do this, and how did you begin your research?
All right, so the why is probably because I was sick for 3 days and did nothing, and I had a lot of pent-up energy when I was feeling better yesterday, and I'm like, man, I got to do something, like something. I think I spent like 2.5 hours going through spring training StatCast data, going through all of the games and looking at which pitches guys chased, what kind of pitch, where was it? Was it up? Was it away? Was it down? Was it consistent with what they did last year? And I did it for one thing, right? Not to prove that the offense is okay, because you can't prove that, because they're not scoring. And by the way, they also, I think, have the second worst average exit velo as a team in the National League teams right now, and it would be near the bottom of all of baseball right now in spring training. But I wanted to point out that especially the first 9 games of spring training, but in any 9-game sample, you cannot draw conclusions. It is the entire point that I'm making. I'm not trying to say the offense is fine. I'm not trying to say that everything's good. I'm not trying to say everything's bad. There are good things and there are bad things. But like when you think about how you evaluate players, you're literally evaluating as the team has played 8 or 9 games. Most of these guys have played half that. Half. Six most. And the guys that have played like 7, they're just the fill-in guys that come in once the starters exit the game. So how does anybody panic? And you guys are not. You know, most smart people are not. But you know the world on Twitter is blowing up with, oh, my God, their offense is this. And offense. How are you going to judge Nolan Gorman and whether he's making adjustments based on 5 games? How can you do that? I mean, like, it doesn't make any sense. So I went through and I'm like, okay, what matters and what doesn't? Well, guys like Gorman and Walker clearly had projects to work on from last year, right? Guess what? Through 5 games, 6 games, they're still working on it. We're not going to get a fix on that in 5 games. It isn't just going to all of a sudden be like, whoop, light switch, they're good. But with a guy like Walker, there's both good and bad, right? So he struck out way too much, right? 7 times in 13 at-bats. That's ridiculous. But he's put 6 balls in play, 5 of those average 100 miles an hour in exit velo. So he's hitting the crap out of the ball. He's just not, he's still having problems chasing. Yeah, but like, it's not all terrible. And that's the point. Stats are liars, man. And especially in this, look at Pedro Páez. Did you guys like that little nugget I dug up on Páez? Yeah. So he's 1 for 9. And somebody would look at that and go, oh, he sucks. He's hitting 111. He's put 8 balls in play. Every ball in play has been hit hard. 8 of his balls in play, all 8 of them have been over 90 mile an hour exit velo. They're averaging 95. You literally can't ask someone to do better than that. Every ball he's put in play has been hit hard. So how are you going to judge the 1 for 9? Now, what's great about this, and I'll shut up for a few minutes, is that, and this is another thing that I really love about this conversation, is in years past, and you guys probably remember, La Russa would do this, not intentionally, but he would do this, Matheny would, all managers would, is they could BS us a little bit. Guy's not doing well, and they're like, ah, don't worry, he's hitting the ball hard. You know, he's hitting the ball hard. He'll get this. Now we can look it up. Right. And that's really my point. That's what I wanted to do that for last night, to make the point. Stop being simple about it. It's not simple. You're not going to figure this out by somebody's batting average in 13 at-bats in spring training. You got to do a little work to figure it out because the team is looking at all of those things. All teams are. They're looking at how hard are they hitting it? Are they hitting it in the air? What are they swinging at? Mason Wynn. Mason Wynn's chasing too much, man. He's got to – I mean, we know this, and we'll talk about him more later because this was his problem last year. It's just not as simple as people want it to be. It's just not. Like, Nolan Arenado's numbers aren't amazing, but you know what? His bat speed's up a lot. Mm-hmm. It's up so much that if it were in season, it would be the difference between being in the bottom third in baseball and being in the top 20% in baseball and bat speed. Will it last? I don't know. It's 5-6 games, man. We can't know. But if you're just going to judge on batting average in spring training, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I mean, Bernie, when I talked to you on Friday, one of the things that jumped out to me was Nolan Arenado at 108 off the bat on his double and him saying to reporters, that is the biggest number I've had in a year. Matt, you were there for Jordan Walker. In fact, you did a story this morning for KMOX on Jordan Walker, and you said the first line, Jordan Walker had a very good day, although the box score won't show it, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, every single one of his hits was above 95, I believe, yesterday. 2 were above 100. Yeah. He hit 1 that would have been a home run in 26 major league parks, and it just didn't get out of Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. I was so encouraged by what I saw yesterday for Jordan Walker, and everybody's got to look past the box score. And I know there's a group of people that don't want to do that and are going to think that we're just these baseball nerds that are talking about things that don't matter, but these things do matter. And over 162 games, it's are there players who just have unlucky seasons that they do everything that they need to do and the numbers aren't there at the end of the year? Yes, that happens. Unlucky seasons absolutely do happen in Major League Baseball, but generally speaking, that's an anomaly. And if you're hitting the ball hard and you're hitting it in the air, you are going to get hits. You're going to get extra base hits. You're going to get home runs. You're going to drive in runs. You're going to score runs because you're going to be in scoring position a lot. All these things are going to happen. So what Jordan Walker did yesterday, give me that every single game, and the numbers will look fantastic at the end of the season, even though yesterday was an 0-for-2.
Yeah, Bernie, I know we say that spring training stats and performances don't matter. The key word in spring training is training. But then again, we all get excited when Wilson Contreras hits one 453 sure. feet. Well, that's, you know, who knows what the pitcher was doing there. Maybe he's working on something too.
Yeah, no.
But no, it's all relative. I think these StatCast numbers, Bernie, are fascinating.
Yeah, because, you know, the strange thing about it, there will actually be people pushing back on this, in my experience, mm-hmm. because when you talk about hard hit rate, people think, well, I don't care if it gets a base hit. I don't care how hard he hits the ball. Okay, great. But if you would like to see, you know, someone do more than, you know, hit have soft contact hits that really don't do any damage. They do get you a runner on base, but they don't do any damage. The harder you hit a baseball, it has been proven there's probably been a million studies about this, and every one of them comes to the same conclusion. The harder you hit the ball, the better your numbers and performance will be. But people will take an isolated game where somebody goes like 2-for-3, and they're two, you know, one's a bloop in the center field, like one's just like a really soft shot that just finds a space out in left field. It's like, well, I don't care how hard he hits the ball. He got two hits. Yeah, if you look at that like an isolated game or an isolated few games, sure. But over a long period of baseball, no, that's not going to lead to you being the kind of hitter you're capable of being. And that's just an established fact. But the other thing too, and I think this is valuable to talk about this stuff. You know, if for nothing else, the four of us like understand the importance of it. But I would like, it's stupid for me to even try to like reason with people that are going absolutely bananas, completely blowing every gasket in their brains about the Cardinals' performance in spring training. You know, it's March the 3rd, 24 days from now, the real stuff starts. Save your tantrums, save your, to quote the Rolling Stones, save your 19th nervous breakdowns for the start of the regular season. And then even in the start of the regular season, I would suggest, you know, kind of wait a little while to see what develops. But
yeah,
if you must go nuts and completely become unhinged and completely go off in a way where in a normal society, some people may actually like take you to a facility for some type of treatment. If you're going to do that, why don't you at least wait till the regular season? You can do it all you want in the regular season. Better to rely on big samples. But if you want to go game to game to game to game, going totally, totally bonkers on social media, hey, go ahead. You know what, though? I don't have to read it, and I don't care.
Host the post-game show, Bernie.
Yeah, I do say, have to hear Matt.
It. Oh, you poor guy.
Poor
you
Matt,
poor guy.
Yeah.
You're poor guy. I know what you mean. Can I say this real quick? Real quick, and I'm really sorry. Like, the other day, I did a video that had a lot of I will pat myself on the back. I did extensive research on the Cardinals' failure to develop starting pitching from the 2015 through the 2021 drafts. And the evidence is absolutely conclusive. Like, in other words, it's beyond any type of pushback. I was still getting pushback on that. I mean, I was getting more than I ever thought. Some guy said, like, well, you had a hammer and you went to hit nails, but there weren't any nails there. In other words, like, I was making it up. They drafted 136 pitchers from 2015 through 2021. 11 of the 136 have actually pitched for the Cardinals. Only 11, right? And even those guys, none of them are big time guys. And yet people were like telling me I was nuts or something. I mean, I don't get it, man. I need to stop just looking at comments at places, including my own, because I just, you know why? Because it kind of drives me cuckoo. And I shouldn't be going cuckoo. Anyway, I'll shut up now.
Go ahead. Do 30 seconds on this for the old heads who don't like the batted ball numbers or any of that. What do you think scouts have looked at for the last 100 years? Do you think scouts, the old school scouts, the guys with the cigars and all the guys hanging out, do you think they were going to draft the guy that had three bloop singles? Do you think they're looking at the high school kid that batted 420 because he hit nothing but singles and bunted? Or do you think they were looking for the guy that was hitting rockets all over the field? Everybody has known that hitting the ball hard is good, and they've known it since the beginning of the sport. And if you don't accept that and you just want to go by the easily observable things, that's on you, but it doesn't mean it's reality. The reality is that what matters, what you can control, is hit the ball as hard as you can hit it. And that line that Matt used earlier, hit it hard, hit in the air, that's Ted Williams. That's not modern analytics. That's just the best hitter that's ever lived.
No, that was Jeff Albert that did all that. That's why I had to get rid of that Jeff Albert. What do you mean, Ted Williams?
The Gas House Gang from KMOX, Matt Pauly, Kevin Wheeler, Bernie Miklas. We are sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling.
And anyway, I want to thank everyone for tolerating me, because after a peaceful weekend, I had a vent. I just had to vent for general reasons. So I'll be a good boy the rest of the video, I promise. Saliga Heating and Cooling has been around since 1927, serving generations of St. Louis families. Four generations of Saligas have owned and operated the family business, Dan Saliga being the guy now. Wonderful job. Wonderful job. We've been dealing with Saliga Heating and Cooling for 16 years. They've taken great care of us. I'm just going to say, very quickly, 100% integrity, professionalism, knowledge. They come into your home, they're classy. They can do any kind of job you have, big, small, or somewhere in between. And I want you to take a look at their Priority Club. It's a maintenance program that will pay off for you in the long run. That has been our experience as members of the Priority Club. So go to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com, to find out more about this American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer.
Bernie, thanks very much. With Matt, with Kevin, with Bernie, I'm Tom. This is the Gas House Gang. We are here not only in video form, but you can listen to us in podcast form. You can listen to us on KMOX Radio after the fact. At night, this gets replayed. Let's go around the horn and let's start with things that are concerning you. We talked about some of the numbers. Let's start with Kevin. What concerns you so far about the Cardinals here in spring training?
Not so much about the team, but it's just a continuation of last year, which is why it's concerning. Like, I don't make anything out of Mason Wynn's numbers in spring training. He's, you know, what's he like? I don't know, like 1 for 12 or whatever, but he's only hit two balls hard. But my concern is not just him, like spring. I don't care about the spring stats. But what I do care about is I'm watching him, and I'm seeing games, but I'm also tracking the games I can't see and going on to, you know, whether it's Baseball Savant or MLB.com to see what's he swinging at. And he's chasing a lot, man. I mean, he's swinging at 5-6 pitches in the first two games alone that are way off the plate, making soft contact. And that's a problem from last year. He did that all of last year, and that's what has me a little bit worried. It's not that this spring sample is some kind of change. It's that it's not. And, you know, like last year as an example, this is going to make people mad. I'm sorry, but I want to get what you guys think of this. So last year, Mason Wynn was about 2% above major league average for his offense, right? Had a rough September, but if you broke down his season, he was strong in April and May. He struggled in June and July, strong in August, bad in September. And we can figure out why, right? It could be who you're playing in a given month. It could be fatigue at the end of the year. We don't know. But that's just kind of how the season went. But overall, he was 2% above league average. But every one of his expected numbers based on his batted ball numbers were lower than the real ones, which is bad, right? He was bottom 10, 15%. In average exit velo, barrel rate, hard hit rate, bat speed, all of that. And that's all impacted because he's swinging at pitches that you can't hit hard. It's not that he can't do those things. It's that he's not allowing himself because he swings at pitches he can't do anything with, and it leads to soft contact. So last year, this is crazy to me. Last year, Mason Wynn was a little bit above average, but the projections showed that he should have been a little below average. Nolan Gorman had almost identical numbers to Mason Wynn when it comes to weighted on base. Nolan Gorman's weighted on base was exactly what Mason Wynn's expected weighted on base was based on the quality of contact. And Nolan Gorman, we're in panic mode. We're like, oh my God, this guy can't play. Now they get there differently, so it looks different, right? Wynn puts the ball in play, so his batting average is going to look better, and he doesn't strike out, so you don't have the big strikeout or nothing where Gorman is kind of, you know, power or nothing. They're very different profiles. But what their numbers tell us is that they were similarly productive last year, and yet we don't say anything about that with Wynn. I'm worried. I'm worried that there could be a second-year sophomore slump and regression if he doesn't fix this. Plenty of time to do it. We won't know this until June or July, probably. It's going to take some time to figure it out. But that's part of what's got me worried.
What do you got, Matt?
Yeah, it's so early. I think what concerns me is how many of the issues that look similar to last year are real versus it's just the process of working through things. And a lot has been made about Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker and the work that they've done. We mentioned the strikeout numbers earlier with Walker. It's a lot, 7 strikeouts and 13 at-bats. Gorman didn't get his first hit until yesterday, was striking out a lot. So when that looks very similar to last year, you can't help but say, okay, is this just because they're working on things and it's early on in spring and it doesn't mean anything? Or is this just who they are and it's going to be a continuation of that? Because look, this season is about finding out if those guys are what they were last year or if there's more available. So there's no guarantee. Yeah. When we've talked about this over and over and over, we've talked about the key being Walker and Gorman taking a step forward. I think all of us have put the caveat on, there's no guarantee that they are going to take a step forward. And if they don't, this Cardinal season could go bad. So that would be my concern at this point. I'm still very open to the idea. In fact, I even lean towards the direction that's not who these guys are, and they are going to be much better. And the work that they've put in is real, and it's going to be better once the regular season gets started. But I'm leaving the door open for the idea that it's not going to get better, and then everything goes wrong at that point.
Bernie, what do you think?
Yeah, Matt, you're right. They got to prove it. Like, you go back to 2023, and that's all the evidence you need to see how talented they are and how capable they are.
Right.
You know, so when some of us make the case, well, wait a minute now, you're acting like they've been bad for like 5 years or something. They were bad in 2024.
Right.
You know, go to 2023 and look at their combined numbers. But anyway, my concern, and I'm not going to get lost in the weeds here because it would take too long to untangle it, which is the problem. I'm still wondering how the Cardinals have so much redundancy. They have so many left-handed hitters. They have too many outfielders, especially if Donovan's going to play in the outfield. There's going to be like maybe the idea of like there's going to be, you know, a good player or two that's going to have to who appear to be ready for the majors or would be a major league caliber player. We're going to have to open the season in Memphis. Maybe it's Victor Scott. I don't know. But it's because the Cardinals have as usual, man, they have this puzzle on the table, and it's like, what do we do here? Because every time you move a piece, it affects other pieces, or that's a bad example of the puzzle, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Every time you say, well, that's okay, we're going to put Donovan in left field, there is a there's an after effect of that impacts other positions, you know, things like that. They have this really, really, really difficult puzzle to solve by the time they turn for home in March 27th. And it's just really not an easy thing to solve. The good thing is you'll have some options, but the bad thing is those options, a lot of them basically consist of players who are very similar to each other, you know? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many left-handed hitters do they have that it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, they're not all the same guy literally, but you know what I mean? Like, there's not enough separation in terms of talent. Like, I even have a hard time explaining it without going like position by position. So we'll
see. Making a great point. Yeah, and this is why I think you're right, and I think that's why we're rooting for a guy like Victor Scott. You know, I mean, and by the way, he's doing great stuff in spring. Like, he's got the good stats, but he's hitting the crap out of the ball. like it's not weird. It's not like light end. I mean, he's hitting the crap out of the ball a lot. So I'm excited about that because maybe he changes that, Bernie. Maybe he makes that a lot easier and stabilizes it. But even if he does, as you point out, it's knocking someone out of the lineup.
Yep.
Whether that person's Gorman or Burleson or whatever, it's knocking someone out of the lineup if he's the center fielder, which is not a bad thing. It just is doing that.
You're watching and listening to the Gas House Gang from KMOX with Kevin Wheeler, Matt Pauly, Bernie Miklas. I'm Tom Ackerman. My big concern is that they sent out Quinn Matthews. What are they doing? No, I'm just kidding.
Rage.
Obviously, this is something we've been talking about from the get-go, is that Quinn was going to be sent to minor league camp so that he can work and get himself ready. Matt, that was kind of the point, wasn't it? Was that he needs to pitch at Triple A. He didn't like the way Triple A ended. What, are they just going to forget about that and put him in the big leagues? I mean, unless there's a catastrophic injury situation, you got to let Quinn Matthews start with the minor league camp into Triple A.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I got Matt muted.
There we go. Couple things here. First off, I was mildly surprised he didn't get one more appearance, and he could still come up. And you know, they bring minor league guys up all the time, but I thought maybe he had another week left in him in big league camp. So I was mildly surprised, but not shocked by any stretch of the mind. Here's the thing that bugs me a little bit. We went through an entire offseason talking through the fact that the plan for Quinn Matthews was him come into spring, get some time in big league camp, go to minor league camp, start the season in Memphis. If he masters Triple A hitting, well, then he's going to be up very soon. Like there was never any doubt. There was never any wavering. There was never any anything about this being the plan. So we get to spring training. He has one nice appearance in a big league spring training game.
Two innings.
They follow Vlad Guerrero Jr. They get him to minor league camp, and you would have thought that the world just ended for some Cardinal fan. What's the disconnect? Why 2 weeks ago was everybody fine with the idea that, okay, he'll get some time in big league camp, and then he'll head to the minor league camp, and then when the move actually happens, it's the worst thing in the world. So I don't
know. Okay, since I brought it up, let me throw this one. I'll throw it to Bernie. I'll play fan. I'll be the other side for just a moment on this, since I think we're all on the same page. I'm a fan, and now I've changed my mind. I want Quinn Matthews in the rotation. Bernie, I'm a fan. If Quinn Matthews is better than Steven Matz or Miles Michaelis, then why don't you just put him in there?
Well, yeah. I mean, if payroll politics wasn't a part of it, Quinn Matthews very well could be in the starting rotation at the beginning of the season. But we have many, 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 many years of how the Cardinals operate to know that as much as we huff and puff and, you know, be disappointed about certain situations, they're not going to change it. So it's not Tom the fan. It's not up to me to tell me, not up to me to tell you, like, calm down. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, I use a phrase. It's not a great phrase. I'm just like, you know, when things are set in stone by the people that are running the team and they've been set in stone the way they like to do things for a long time, the last thing I'm going to do is go over to my office door there and just like bang my head like 100 times. It's just, there's no point in it. It's not going to change. Quinn Matthews will be here soon enough. In my theory, absolutely will be here soon enough. But my theory is one of the reasons they got him out of there, right? It's just for what Tom the fan said. If they give him two or three more starts in spring training and they're all good, and then they send him down because it's like, well, look, he could use some time at Memphis, right? He could use – oh, my gosh. What's the highest DEFCON? 4? DEFCON 4? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, coronary episodes, metaphorically, coronary episodes all over wherever Cardinals fans are. So it was probably like, hey, we better get this guy out of here until just so he's not being seen. Because if we let this guy pitch a couple more times and he's impressive, our fan base is going to go nuts. They probably would have. I wouldn't blame them under those circumstances. So it's probably best to get him out of the way, let him get prepared for his Triple A season, the first part of it anyway.
Yeah, you know, I hate the payroll politics. I if a guy's not performing, get him out. Right. I don't care if you're paying him. Just, you know, if he's hurting the team, he's hurting the team. But chronologically, he's also got three other guys that are prospects in his way, like McGreevy, Graceffo, and Hence, and they're all in the 40-man, and he's not. So you've got the practicality of managing the 40-man. But also, like, again, I love prospects. I'm a prospects dork, man. I love this stuff. What evidence is there that he's better than McGreevy, Graceffo, and Hence right now? Because all we have in spring training is two innings. And all we have at AAA is him getting knocked around when he was tired at the end of the year. And that's why he got knocked around. I'm not changing it. And I do think he's actually better than all three of those guys. But there's no evidence of it at this point.
Well,
that's all I'm saying. I mean, like, he's, what did he have, 14 starts at AA? The rest of it was at A ball as a guy out of Stanford. I love this player. I think he's the best of the four. But it's not like there's a long track record of evidence that says he's ahead of those guys.
Yeah, I think he's performed like one minor league season. I think he performed better than any of those guys ever had in the minor
league. For sure, but he only had what, five starts in AAA, and it didn't go well. And
well, yeah, because
McGreevy looked good at the end of the big league season facing major leaguers.
It didn't go well because they moved him from A ball all the way up to AAA.
Totally agree.
He threw a lot of innings.
Yeah,
and don't forget. He was Baseball Prospectus used to have a thing, they disbanded it, called pitcher abuse points. I loved it. And you know, Quinn Matthews, this final
that was season, Randy that ran that, I think, right? Randy Gisarli?
Who?
I don't know the name. Yeah, forget it.
Pitcher abuse points.
Yeah.
Matthews was abused by Stanford, and he pitched so much the Cardinals wouldn't even let him pick up a ball after they drafted him, unlike Waka and some other guys in the past. And they said, no, you just got to shut it down. So after a pretty long break, he's in a minor league season where he's jumping, he's going up four levels in one season. Yeah, he was a little bit out of gas in September.
Yeah, I agree.
But but with all due respect to you, my dear friend, I don't see what that has to do with rating him behind the three other guys you mentioned. I don't understand the logic there.
No,
the guy was Baseball America's minor league pitcher of the year. That's all 30 organizations.
All right. I saw McGreevy get major league hitters out last year. I haven't seen Matthews get one.
Because he hasn't had the chance.
I know, that's the point. It's not that he can't. Gosh. It's the evidence. We have evidence against A ball and double A hitters. We don't have evidence.
Yeah, let's play a little game here, can we? If you went to the other 29 teams and said, we will give you, we're going to give you four pitchers. Which one are you going to take? All 29 would say Matthews. Okay.
Yeah. I led with that.
But you're like saying because he had, because the guy hasn't had a chance to pitch in the majors.
I know.
You're going to say McGreevy is better based on an extremely small sample size in the majors.
Not what I said.
That defies all logic, my friend.
It would. It would if I actually said it. I said Matthews is the best of the four. And I'm saying there is no evidence for the rage of anybody to be upset because none of these people that are upset have seen the man pitch. No.
Now you're changing
Roll
the
back
terms.
The tape, Tom.
Now
Roll
you're
back
moving, the tape. Now you're moving the goalposts.
First
all right.
Out of my mouth where Matthews is the best of the four.
Why don't we just leave it at this? He's going to pitch for the Cardinals in 2025, and it's okay to be a little patient because he's clearly better than just about anybody they have in terms of his talent and potential, and he's a fast riser, but sometimes it's okay to slow it down a little. I mean, to me, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and, like, try to make a case that some other guys are more qualified to be in the major leagues now. I'm just not going to do that.
No, it's the
because that's just silly.
It's the practicality of it. You got three guys on the 40-man roster.
Well, I agree with that.
Already advanced, and that's the point.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
but you know, But I will say this: this is one of my St. Louis media pet peeves for a long time, and it doesn't matter who it is. You know, you'll have like a guy tearing it up in the minor leagues, and then you know someone will remind us. Well, you know, all their 40-man roster spots are full right now. There is so much junk on 40-man rosters as if this is going to be the equivalent performing a heart transplant to take somebody off a 40-man roster.
You can't lose Kyle Leahy. Don't lose that.
I mean, you know, come on. A 40-man roster in the big picture, for now, yeah, maybe it's a factor, but it gives you a little more flexibility. In the big picture, it's not.
Right.
Matthews is the guy I would pick over everybody else, and I would pick him now over everybody else. But it's okay if he's not pitching in the major leagues right at the beginning. I'm sorry, Tom Ackerman and Matt Pauly. We monopolized the conversation. But you know what? I also think the Gas House Gang could use some of that. Well, guys, you know, disagreeing sometimes, so that's all right.
Good.
This is the Gas House Gang, and you know, when you're a moderator, sometimes you just got to let
it. Yeah, that's right.
You got to toss that topic out there and just let them go.
I love Kevin Wheeler, but you know,
hey, friends can fight, man. It's all good.
It's about baseball. Right. You know, I'm not insulting the man's family or something.
Wait till you hear my next topic here. But first, let's hear our sponsor, Saliga Heating and Cooling.
You always go to me after I'm hot. Why is that?
No. We need to cool off.
In fact, here, hold on. Let me click.
Some air conditioning.
I'm gonna click on that Saliga Heating and Cooling split in my office that pumps cool air in here. So anyway, no, Saliga Heating and Cooling's been doing this since 1927. It's an independent American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer. Four generations have owned them. Listen, integrity. Response time, reliability, professionalism, knowledge. They our experience, they'll find cheaper solutions for you rather than try to talk you into something that's more expensive and basically more money for them. The trustworthiness is off the charts. I want you to take a look at the Priority Club. It is a maintenance plan program where, you know, you will have peace of mind knowing everything. If they come out twice a year, everything, check everything. It's going good. Nothing to worry about. Don't worry about it. You're fine. That'll give you peace of mind. It also extends the life expectancy of your equipment, because sometimes they'll catch something, or just by tweaking things, just like normal maintenance things. That'll extend the lifetime of the equipment rather than, you know, a big expensive surprise. So anyway, you see it on the screen. Saliga Heating and Cooling. You got that American Standard heating and air conditioning equipment, and go to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com for more info. Thanks.
Thank you. And thank you to Game Day Men's Health for also being a great sponsor of the Gas House Gang. Final moments here. We got Rhett Bollinger, the Angels beat reporter, putting it out there. This was, I think, yesterday. It was, where he said, Albert Pujols is in Angels camp. This is on Twitter, and reiterated his desire to be a major league manager, even as soon as next season. He also confirmed he'll manage in the Dominican Republic in next year's World Baseball Classic. As a matter of fact, he was quoted as saying, time will tell whenever the opportunity comes. If there is some team knocking this year or next year, then why not? Right now I have a job, which is focusing on the World Baseball Classic, but if there is any club knocking on the door, I would be open to hear that. Before we talk about what Cardinals fans would do if Pujols took a job with another team as a major league manager and was not the Cardinals skipper, let me throw this to Matt Pauly. Matt, if you put it in perspective, I can imagine how this went down. Pujols was surrounded by a few reporters, maybe some really good baseball writers, and somebody said, hey, Albert, so, you're managing the World Baseball Classic? Yes, I am. Would you take a call from a major league team to be a manager? And then he gave his answer. And, of course, that's going to get the headline. I'm not saying they baited him, but that's Albert. He's not going to say no. I mean, of course. That said, it does make for some interesting conversation here moving forward.
It does. And he did a really nice job, you know, getting his feet wet, managing, this past offseason, and his team won the championship there. And now he'll get the chance to manage in the WBC. It's a big, it's a heavy load to haul when you are a major league manager. And can he do it? Yes. Does he have the stomach for it? You know, it wasn't that long ago that he was playing. I'm always amazed by people who jump back into the game, whether as a minor league manager or as a coach, very shortly after a long career. I think the biggest point here is, if he does take a job with another team, Cardinals fans would absolutely go berserk. I have no doubt in my mind that Albert Pujols can be a major league manager. He's one of the smartest players we've ever seen. We know how he motivates. We know how he relates to guys. Like, he's got a lot of the boxes checked. The only thing he hasn't really done is gone through that full season of being a manager. And, you know, the first-time managers learn a lot when they are in that spot. And the Cardinals have hired a lot of first-time managers here their last few times through. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. Like, what if the Cardinals have a really, really good season and Heim Bloom clearly wants to stick with Oliver Marmol, and Marmol deserves to keep the job. And then all of a sudden, a team hires Albert Pujols to be their manager next offseason. That's just a sit back and watch how people react to that one.
If I could say something, as soon as we're done with this, I'm going to record a video on my YouTube channel on this very subject. And the two things that I shoot down are, it's like, well, you know, he doesn't have enough experience. Have you been paying attention to baseball in the last 15 years?
Yeah.
How many first-time managers do really, really well? Well, just most recent example, the 2000, the last year's American League Manager of the Year, Stephen Vogt.
Yeah.
You've had five rookie managers in baseball histories win World Series. The other thing is like, well, Bernie, because I've heard this a lot. Well, you know, great players don't make good managers. You know, guys are like Hall of Fame players. They don't make good managers. What? I thought Joe Torre was a pretty damn good player, right? I think Dusty Baker was a pretty damn good player, right? You know who's a Hall of Fame player that became a manager and won a World Series and two pennants in St. Louis? Guy named Shane Dienst, okay?
He was all right.
Yeah, so I'm going to cover all that and more. So thanks for setting me up there, Tom.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Generalities don't apply, man. I mean, like, Albert is Albert. Albert's not Frank Robinson. He's not Larry Bird. He's not Michael Jordan. He's Albert Pujols. And
smart guy.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean he's automatically a success, but it means that what happened with other human beings doesn't matter. It'll be good or bad. It'll be because of him as an individual. And I will say this, under the way Matt described it, I think you guys would agree. If that happens and Ollie stays and somebody else goes, the Cardinals better be good next year because the fan base is going to be fired up.
Yeah, I don't know what good is. So.
Like playoff good, otherwise people are going to be losing it.
It'll be interesting. You know who played for Pujols was Matt Kupierniak.
Yeah.
Yeah, played for him down there, so. He could tell you. He did tell me that Albert was unbelievably prepared and was an amazing resource.
You know the thing about managing in the DR. I know we're overboard. I'm sorry. For the live stream, we can go on just a couple minutes. The thing about managing in the winter league down in the DR, you know, it is utter chaos. It is mm-hmm. utter chaos. Because players are coming in, they're playing a week, they leave, another player's come on, you know, some players are in for 3 days, then they're out. And it's just like, he went through, they used during the regular season, 49 games in the regular season, they used 83 players. No, they did. Can you even imagine what it's like to sort of figure out, well, what do I got? Okay, what personnel do I have today? Who just arrived? Who just left? Who's coming 2 days from it?
Yeah. Like,
it's enough to make your head spin a million times. And he was able to just like figure this stuff out. And by the end of the year, they were good enough to get on a roll and win it all and then go to the Caribbean series and win that too. I mean, this guy's already shown he knows what to do. Give a major league manager during a season, say, well, you're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have 83 players in a 49 season game. Don't look at us. You got to figure it all out. Albert did.
He sure did. With Matt Pauly, Kevin Wheeler, Bernie Miklas, I'm Tom Ackerman. Subscribe to KMOX Sports on YouTube. Subscribe to the Bernie Show. He's got a video coming real soon. And listen to Matt Pauly tonight on Sports Open Line before I have the SLU Coaches Show 6 to 8. And then we will have a replay of this show at 8 o'clock if you want to hear Bernie and Kevin go at it.
Wheeler, coming after you, man. All right, I'll see you guys. Thank you.
See you, boys. Thank you. Thanks, producer Drew Young. This has been the Gas House Gang.